Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 5 of the Pixel Lab podcast. I'm really excited today to have Dave Glanz with us. If you've been on my blog recently, I posted a presentation Dave did at the DC meetup where he went over some projects that he did for Discovery, and they are absolutely awesome. So make sure to go to DaveGlanzProductions.com and check out his work. I'll put a link in the notes. Yeah, so I'm super pumped to have him here with me. Let's do this thing. Hey, Dave, thanks for hanging out with us.
Hey, Jordan, thanks for the interview. I really appreciate it, and I'm a fan of the site, and I appreciate the shout-outs on Twitter.
Not a problem. Hey, why don't we start this thing out right with a little bit of background on you. Did you go to school for motion graphics? How did you stumble into it?
I actually didn't go to school for motion graphics, and I actually didn't go to school for fine art or design either. I was a film studies major at the University of Pittsburgh. I graduated in 1998. And I think my intention was to become the next Quentin Tarantino. A lot of people I knew, a lot of film nerds, a lot of film fans were interested in pursuing the life of the independent filmmaker. I think that's what I was intending to do at the time. After college, I actually was in AmeriCorps for a couple years, tutoring students, high school students, and produced a few videos about adult literacy programs. So motion graphics wasn't even on my radar. I had always been interested in art. I always did well in art class. I used to draw caricatures and paint and draw and all that stuff growing up. But design and animation wasn't something I had initially planned on.
That's really interesting. My background as well was in film, and I have a video production degree. Actually did no motion graphics at school and kind of transitioned to motion graphics on my own after school. So what was your transition? Why did you leave film behind and go more towards motion graphics?
It goes all the way back to the age of 14. I was a paper boy. I saved up for an RCA VHS camcorder and ran around Pittsburgh, oftentimes in places I shouldn't have been running around in, making short films and editing them deck to deck from my VCR to my camcorder. There's a great program, a great facility in Pittsburgh called Pittsburgh Filmmakers. And I did some apprenticeships there, so I got to experience working with 8mm film, 16mm film, and when I went to school at the University of Pittsburgh, you could actually get college credits by taking classes at Pittsburgh Filmmakers, which is walking distance from both the Carnegie Mellon campus and the University of Pittsburgh campus. So I spent a lot of time there in high school and in college, and after college, I had an internship at an extras casting office, actually. And at the time, a lot of films were being made in Pittsburgh. I think that kind of started with The Silence of the Lambs in 1991, which was made in Pittsburgh and obviously was a huge hit, and a lot more films were coming to Pittsburgh in the 90s. And the big film at the time in 98 was Dogma, which was Kevin Smith's big film about two angels, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. I was helping out with the extras casting on that film. I got to go to the wrap party for Dogma. In fact, I actually got to meet Kevin Smith in a craft services truck. I asked him if he wanted any coffee, and he said no, he doesn't drink coffee. That was my 15 minutes of fame. Anyway, I was a production assistant on that film also, and there was another movie, a miniseries about the Temptations, the music group from the 60s, and I was a production assistant on that film too. That was kind of the beginning of what you would call a background in filming, I guess. I got to see everything that goes into creating a production, and a lot of it wasn't actually that appealing. So my thought was, well, I actually have more fun in an editing suite. I have more fun behind the scenes, not necessarily in production. So my initial goal was to become a video editor after college, after some experience on film sets. I thought that would be more fun. That would be better for me. I got an internship at a video production company in Pittsburgh, and that is actually where I discovered the world of design, because at the time, a lot of places were merging. Web design companies, print design companies, and production houses were merging together, and I happened to end up at one. That is where I started to actually learn the basics of animation. I learned animation from using Flash. That's kind of where that started. It's not to say I'm not still interested in filmmaking. I think that everything we design and animation, the stuff that we do, sometimes feels like we're creating short films. So I think that background in films probably has contributed to the kind of work that I do.
So how did you get your first job in the motion graphics industry then?
What I guess you would say is my first real job in the industry, which was at Sun King Studios in Pittsburgh, started by Jeff Myers. And he was a very talented animator, and I learned a lot from him there. And that involved basically a lot of production design work on my part. My first big job, big project there was for the Art Institutes. It was the National Art Institute website. We developed a Flash website and an HTML website. There was a lot of Flash animation and a lot of After Effects work, I guess rotoscoping. And I was there for 2 years. It was a really cool place. It was, I think, an old type factory that was gutted and had a great view of the south side of Pittsburgh and a basketball hoop inside. And it was a pretty cool place. And I ended up moving to Washington, D.C. a couple years later. Ended up working at a place called Hirshhorn Zuckerman Design Group that was an ad agency. So I guess neither one of these places were really in the motion graphics industry, but I was doing motion graphics for them. At Hirshhorn Zuckerman, I was doing animation, more Flash animation, some After Effects projects. You know, there was a lot of animation to be done. So after that, I ended up at a place called Team Sound and Vision, and that was a video post-production house here in D.C., and I guess that's my first real job in the industry. So I started there when I was, that was 2008, so I was, 32, so it took a while to get what I would say was my first real position in the industry. It was kind of a long road to get there. Currently, for almost a year now, I've been working at a smaller studio in Silver Spring, Maryland, which is very close to Washington, D.C., and a few blocks from the Discovery Channel building, where Discovery Channel is headquartered. The studio is called iCandy. I am the sole full-time graphics person at the moment. I do actually work with freelancers from time to time, some very talented ones. Most of our clients there are broadcast television-based, so Discovery Channel, TLC, Travel Channel, History, PBS, and every so often we work with ad agencies to produce videos for various other clients. And it's a very small place, but it's also a very busy place. I work with about, I think, four or five other editors, and it's a very tight-knit group. And there's actually another group in the same space called DC Collective. We sometimes collaborate with them. I would say the majority of the work we do is for Discovery Channel. For instance, the latest project I've worked on were ad sales spots for Discovery and Dunkin' Donuts. They wanted to promote how Dunkin' Donuts sponsored this show. So, for instance, there was a spot with Storm Chasers and how Dunkin' Donuts was sponsoring Storm Chasers. And there's another one that I'm working on right now for Deadliest Catch. It's a very similar spot, and both spots are done mostly with Cinema 4D.
So tell me a little bit about your normal day at an office. What is it that you're working on usually?
So I would say there's really no consistency between the type of projects that I work on. It could be anything from creating end pages for promos for Discovery Channel to creating logo reveals for various clients, sometimes with Cinema 4D, sometimes just 2D based. Some of the stuff we do is stuff that just ends up on the web. Some of the stuff is obviously on TV. So a typical work day really is never the same. Sometimes I'll get a project that lasts a few days or if I'm lucky, a couple weeks. But a lot of the time, it's bouncing back and forth between projects. So I'll get in and have sometimes two or three things that I'm working on. When you're in broadcast, you're working very closely with editors. So an editor may have a need for some help. Sometimes you just have to drop what you're doing and help out. And that can be just editing templates. It can be creating new templates. It can be creating an end page for a client. The one consistent thing is that you get to work with good people and hopefully, clients who understand what you're doing and are fun to work with.
I think one thing that a lot of people in our industry struggle with is burning out creatively. So I was curious, how do you find inspiration to stay fresh? Where do you get your ideas from? Do you have any good resources you can share with us?
I do a lot of photography. I think that goes back to college. I had a 35mm Pentax camera, and I actually did a program called Semester at Sea my last year in college. So that was a program where you travel around the world, and you study on the ship, and you spend 4 or 5 days in each port. So I got to see a lot of countries, Vietnam, Shanghai, Egypt. I went to Spain, I went to Morocco, Greece. And I had my camera with me the whole time, so I think that was really when I kind of just discovered that I had a bit of a passion for photography. And I actually, for years, I think I just went without. I just had a point-and-shoot digital camera. A few years ago, my wife and I took a trip to Prague, and I took that as an opportunity to buy a nice camera again. And since then, I've been buying lenses left and right, taking trips with her. So travel and photography has definitely been something that I think has kept my creative juices flowing. And, of course, I watch a lot of movies. I've been watching movies since I was a kid, and I've been watching movies seriously probably since I was 13 or 14. And when I say seriously, I mean reading reviews and reading film criticism. So I spend a lot of time reading about movies and watching movies. I guess I'm trying to think of how they keep my work fresh. Thinking about work outside of work too much can be unhealthy. I think that it's a better way to live is to live your life, keep life and work a little bit separate. That's not to say that I don't read about design or think about work when I'm outside of work, but I make every effort to try to focus my energies elsewhere so that when I go back into work, I have a little more energy, a little more focus. I'm not exhausted thinking about it outside of work. In terms of online resources, I spend, just like any other motion graphics designer, I spend a lot of time looking at just anything posted on Motionographer. I spend time on mograph.net, on sites like yours, the Pixel Lab. I'm a fan of a few print sites. There's a site called Under Consideration, and they have a few different sub-sites. One's called For Print Only. I like looking at their stuff. One is called Brand New, where they take new logos and kind of tear them apart, examine them, and grade them. I'm a fan of listening to podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts. This American Life, WTF with Mark Maron, StoryCorps, the / Filmcast, Film Spotting. I don't know if I really get any inspiration from them, but I definitely enjoy listening to them. As far as sources of inspiration from my past, there was a really good book I read in college called On Directing Film by David Mamet. I always thought that was a good way of thinking about economical storytelling, which I think is part of our job. And when learning to animate, there was a really good book by Richard Williams called The Animator Survival Kit, which really applies more to 2D animation. But I think any animator can probably get something from that book. And I'm a huge fan of Pixar. I guess that's an obvious choice, but I love movies like Up and Ratatouille and Finding Nemo and Toy Story, and I really can't get enough of Pixar.
I have one final question for you, Dave, before I let you go, and this is geared towards people who are just starting out in the industry. What do you think is the most important thing they need to do to excel in our industry? And do you have any tips for them as they get started?
Well, the most important thing you need to do to start in this industry is to have a portfolio and a point of view. And when I say portfolio, I really mean demo reel. Every place I've worked the past few years, really the only thing people look at is a demo reel. That is our industry's resume, really. It's not to say it's not important to have a resume. Sometimes you'll run into a place that will want one from you. But the most important thing to excel in the industry, I guess, is you have to keep wanting to learn, and you have to work well with other people. I mean, that's really all there is to it. You keep learning and you stay interested in what you're doing. I would say it's important to take breaks too, because this job, just like any job, can be exhausting, mentally exhausting. So I think you just have to have persistence. Keep learning, keep up with people. You want to stay in touch with people. I think it can't hurt to have some type of degree in fine arts, or any kind of background in arts, basically. It doesn't have to be a degree, but it definitely helps to have a history of passion, of interest in some type of creative background. So I guess if there's something I wish I knew before I had started, well, I wish I knew that I was going to become a motion graphics designer, because I probably would have gone to school for animation or design. So I think if you have a clear idea of what you want to do from the beginning, I think you should go full steam ahead. Get a degree in design, and if you don't feel that you need a degree, show your stuff to anybody who matters. Don't be afraid to send your stuff to agencies. Look up opportunities for networking. When I first started, I did a lot of work for either free or very cheap for friends, And that was my way of building a portfolio, basically. I would do work very hard for whoever it was asking for something. It could have been a website, it could have been a commercial. You just need to build a portfolio over time. And that can be in school, and it can be outside of school. I just think you need to show what you can do. And the best way to show what you can do is to do as much work as possible in the beginning and build that reel.
I remember spending countless hours just volunteering for organizations, and that's really your main priority, is just build that reel, and then you're going to get yourself in the industry. So, hey, Dave, thank you so much for hanging out with us. I really appreciate it, man.
Sure, yeah. Thanks for having me, Jordan. I really appreciate it. I wish you best of luck with the site, and keep those tutorials coming.
All right, that does it for episode 5 of the Pixel Lab podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody. Make sure to follow Dave on Twitter. He is at Dave Glanz, and you can check out his work at DaveGlanzProductions.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again soon. Bye, everybody.